Blog Talk Radio.
Difference makers. My name is Stanley Yarborough. I'm your host. This is our second show. We're proud to be sponsored on Craze Radio, your station for entertainment news, current events, real talk, and unsigned and independent music artists. I'd like to welcome you back here on Turkey Day. I know a lot of people have ate a lot of food because I have myself, so if I can make it up for 2 hours, we might be okay. I have some interesting guests coming on today, some local guys, Mr. Rick Person, who I had the pleasure to coach with for a year on our travel basketball program. His son, Mr. Ricky Person Jr., a.k.a. Kid Glory, at The Kid on Instagram. We were supposed to be having Stephen Mason from Mason Wolves AAU basketball program, but unfortunately, Mr. Mason forgot that today was Turkey Day. So he's going to be a little busy tonight, so we'll get him back on whenever he's available. Also going to have a lot of our Royal Knights Basketball Club family calling in. They'll be calling in, and I'll be interviewing them, talking to them. Hopefully, my main man, Dave Burnham, is enjoying his Turkey Day today. I know he's probably ate a lot, so I hope he can stay up till around 9 so I can hear from him, get to introduce you to one of my best friends who we've worked in this program for about 6 years. We're trying to build a program in this community to help kids and to help them see things and achieve things that wasn't available in this area. So I'd like to introduce the world to him, to his family, see what he ate today. As always, first and foremost, I'd like to thank God for the opportunity that he's bestowed upon me and blessed my family as well as the RK family, and as well as a lot of people that we've been allowed to touch with. Because without him, nothing is possible, and that's definitely the truth. We got a lot of current events, a lot of politics coming up in the second hour. We'll be talking about ISIS. We'll be talking about the immigrants. We'll be talking about the Crusades, not just the Christian Crusades, who a lot of people like to bring up, but also the Muslim Crusades that started centuries before the Christian Crusades. And without the Christian Crusades, you'd probably be in a Muslim-dominated world right now. But that's the fact nobody's giving you. So I just like to thank everybody for coming on. We should be expecting our next guest, our first guest, Mr. Rick Person and his son, who's a great athlete. I don't want to tell too much about him. I'm just going to let him come up, man, and as long as he keeps his head on straight and keep working as hard as he do, sky's the limit. So we'll be right back. We have a caller, first caller coming in. No, actually, it's a listener, and it's my wife. Hello, baby, out there driving on the road. I hope you have a safe travels on this turkey day. Hope that turkey ain't got you too sleepy. I told Mr. Person to call in around 8:10, so we'll see when he calls in. But before we get to that, we also got some interesting stuff on Planned Parenthood and the number of babies they've killed, black babies especially. They've wiped out pretty much 25% of the black population. Since Roe versus Wade, they've killed about 25% of the black population. So imagine the black population right now is around 13%. Without abortion, Planned Parenthood being right there, right next to it, you'll have probably about, say, 30%. Blacks would be 30% of the population. So pretty much double the population of what we have now. We've allowed to be slaughtered and murdered in baby murdering factories. That's what we've allowed to happen, and somehow we've allowed people to talk us into actually making that seem like it's okay, like it's cool, like it's a choice, like you had a choice to murder another individual. And the thing, that individual that could have been murdered could have been you. It could have been your child, your mom, or whoever else, and they would have tried to legitimize that too. No telling how many doctors, lawyers, great people that we wiped out as an American society, and I do believe we will have to pay for that. God is always about righteous judgment, and there's no way 55 million people killed in a nation. And a nation is willing to bring in hundreds of thousands of other people. There's no way 55 million kids should be killed. And there's no way this nation shouldn't be able to take care of those kids. Millions and millions of people who aren't Americans, and yet we wiped out 55 million Americans, black, white, all colors. But we've killed a lot of kids here in America, and that blood, that innocent blood, is going to be some atonement for it. So we'll get into some of that stuff later. We're going to have fun. It's going to be family night. So that's what I'm looking forward to. I had a great dinner. Had turkey, some sweet potatoes, some salad, some greens, butter beans. I ate so much I really couldn't even handle the dessert. So, like I said, we're gonna try to hang in here, and we're gonna take a quick break. The Difference Makers on Craze Radio. My name is Sam Yarborough. Thank you for tuning in. back on Difference Makers, Craze Radio with a K, not with a C. Like I said, this is my second show, and I'm honored to be able to reach out and talk to as many people as we have listening. I can tell by my little we do some I have my family and I have my son listening in right now. My baby boy, the chef, a 10-year-old that can cook anything. He got a not like most kids on his birthday. He didn't get a toy. He didn't get a game. Young man got to walk. Young man got to walk. When I tell you he got to walk, the young man can cook. Any kind of Chinese food you need, he can cook you a Chinese buffet. Better than any Chinese restaurant you go with. And it's real chicken. Not meow, meow, roof, roof. Not your dog. I mean real chicken. Real live stuff. So, I mean, he's a wonderful young man, brilliant. God blessed me with five beautiful children. I don't just mean beautiful as in facial features. I mean beautiful as far as in mentally, physically, just beautiful children. Athletic, talented, and smart. So I thank God for blessing me with those kids as well as the rest of the 120, 130 kids we have within our basketball organization, as well as the other hundreds of kids I know through our community or through football or through whatever. I'm just thankful and grateful to be allowed to be a part of their lives. We're going to get into, looks like my guest hasn't called in yet, but that's fine. Maybe we'll get him back another time where I'm just going to highlight the young man. As I was saying earlier, his dad, we played football together in high school. He played with both Franklinton High School and Lewisburg High School. That's just a Rick person, his dad. Now he's currently an assistant football coach at Franklinton High School. He's also an assistant basketball coach with Franklinton Middle School. Him and Coach Webb do a marvelous job with the young guys over there. A lot of our nights play there, as well as him, Coach Buck, and Coach Horn, and all of the somebody, Coach Hale. They do a wonderful job over at Franklinton High School, too. Our numbers were down this year, but we still had a pretty decent season. Our team was really young. A lot of freshmen, sophomores playing with a few juniors, and I don't even really know how many seniors, but I know not many. So we had a pretty good season as far as with the young guys that we did have. And one of the standouts of that team, one of the many, was Ricky Person Jr., a.k.a. Kid Glory, the kid, Red Rams number 8. Sophomore, running back, wide receiver, safety, linebacker, awesome athlete. You talked about around 64, around 200, 205. I don't know the exact weight. You're talking about super quick, super fast, super man. I was proud to coach him for 1 year. He played with the Warren Knights Basketball Club 8th grade team. I had the privilege of coaching him in the smaller leagues of football. He's been a wonderful hard worker ever since then. And the thing about it is the kid has no fear. The kid is willing to go out and do the work that it takes to accomplish his goals and to get where he wants to get in life. He's a sophomore running back this year, as I said, but I've seen him make some of the greatest plays at wide receiver. I personally think that he will make a great wide receiver. Not only a great wide receiver, but something as a Megatron, a real difference maker on the offensive side of the football as far as wide receiver. You're talking about, as I said, 6'3", 6'4", probably 10, a big receiver with speed, that's not afraid to go in and make the plays necessary to be made, whether it be coming over top of two receivers, diving, whatever it takes. He's a real difference maker and a game changer. He's being recruited, as far as I know, by Carolina, State, Duke. Those are the names of the teams that I personally know of and being recruited by, so I don't want to put anything else out there that I'm not sure. But wherever he goes, the young man's going to make a difference. He's going to do a great job because he's willing to put in the work. Also, a great student. Great student, polite young man. He's just a great young man. So, as I said, I was proud to have an opportunity to coach him, and I was looking forward to him coming on tonight for his interview. But it's Turkey Day. He might be taking a nap. Never know. So I'm going to try to go over a few things real quick. First thing I want to go over, since we got time, we'll go over the Planned Parenthood birth numbers. Not birth numbers, murder numbers is what we're calling. We're calling the Planned Parenthood murder numbers. And we're gonna go over this on, this is Turkey Day. The day you should be thankful just for life, just for the opportunity to walk on your feet, roll in whatever you're doing, just for the opportunity to take a breath today, you should be thankful. But yet, for all of those of us who are thankful today, in 2012, Planned Parenthood killed 327,000 babies in 2012 alone. 2012, 327,000 babies slaughtered. Babies who had never committed a sin, babies who had never told a lie, babies who had violated any man, any woman, or child. 327,000 of them killed in 1 year alone. In the greatest country on this planet, 327,000 babies killed in 1 year alone. In 2010, Planned Parenthood did 27% of all abortions in the United States. It has ended the lives of over 6 million human beings since 1970. And in that time of murdering 6 million human beings, it collected $6 billion in taxpayer money to murder 6 million kids. Now, it doesn't matter what color those kids were that were killed, they were still kids. Now, I know me, I grew up in a family where it was a big family. My grandma had 4 or 5 kids. Her kids had 4 or 5 kids. I know being raised as a black man, we weren't raised to kill babies. I don't think anybody was. So why do we go out and support the people that do? Why do we support people that's contrary to everything we grew up learning as far as from God, from families, to everything we've grown up being taught? We now support people that support the total opposite of it. And that's amazing to me. We have people, I don't even know. We have people that don't regard life for babies. But if you were to go out and kill, say, a dog that was pregnant with 9 puppies, they would want you to spend the rest of your life with them. They would never forgive you. They would never let it go because you killed an animal. When we've had 56 million babies slaughtered here in America and we've done nothing about it, nobody raises a fuss. People say it's choice. It's choice for you to get up and go outside right now and walk across to your neighbor's house and kill your neighbor. That's a choice. Don't make the choice right, though. Don't make the choice lawful. Doesn't mean that choice should ever be lawful. Because it shouldn't. And that's the same thing that happens when you murder a child. The most innocent of us is murdered, killed. We're going to pay for that. As we're being thankful, we should also think of it could be another way. For 56 million babies, it has been the other way. They've never had the opportunity to be thankful for anything. Not even thankful for a breath. They've never had that opportunity. Never. They've never had the opportunity to smell the grass, to see the sunshine. They've never had the opportunity to say mama or daddy. Even if it wasn't with their biological parents, they've never had that opportunity. But yet we go and vote in 95% to support that when none of us was raised like that. that's a sad part of life. And so I'm thankful today that my mom didn't go to a clinic and abort me. I'm thankful that she put up with me for all the reasons. I wasn't the best for them, but I'm glad she put up with me. I'm thankful for that. See, every day I'm thankful. It ain't just a day on Turkey Day when everybody gonna sit around the table and stuff themselves and say, oh yeah, I'm thankful. I'm thankful. You should have been thankful yesterday. And if you get to see tomorrow, because life is but a vapor, you better be thankful tomorrow. Because for some, it ain't going to be. And we never know who that may be. So I'm thankful for all my fam. I'm thankful for the Royal Knights organization. I'm thankful for life. I'm first and foremost thankful for God. I'm thankful for every opportunity that I've had, that I've been given. I'm thankful that God allowed me to make it through when I was given other opportunities and I simply screwed it up. Not blaming anyone else, but taking it all responsibility for myself. And now I have another opportunity. God's blessed me with an opportunity to reach out to people, to reach out to kids, to mentor kids and coach kids. Not going to waste it. Not going to waste it. Don't know if it's the last chance, but I'm going to take advantage of this chance. That's what I'm going to do. This is Difference Makers Praise Radio. Your home of entertainment news, current events, real talk, and unsigned and independent music artists. I think later on in the show, I'm going to try to find some of these artists and put them up on here and let those that are in my audience hear these same artists that I get to hear. As a matter of fact, our next break, we might pick one of them and see what they sound like. But for right now, we'll be back in a few. Calling in on the panel because I always got something to say, something to talk about. So what I'll do is I'm going to roll down through my Facebook page. I have two guys on my Facebook page, grew up right here in this community with me, Marcus Brody and Tim Will. These guys grew up in the same town that I grew up in. Tim is a few years older than myself and Marcus a few years younger. And we have some of the most interesting conversations you ever would want to have on some of the most interesting topics you would ever want to hear, usually on Facebook. So I always try to get these guys to come on to the show, call on to the show just so they can express their feelings, express their thoughts, but I can never get them to come on. So I'm going to keep working on them, though. Hopefully one day they'll get over their stage fright and actually call in and listen to the show or call in and comment. Because me, I'm a person that I believe in everybody has an opinion and everybody's opinion matters. So what we got to do is hear everybody's opinion, sort through the facts, and then get to the truth. That's what it's about. Truth is something a lot of people can't deal with, something a lot of people don't want to hear, And I know at one point in my life, or I would say several points, I probably didn't want to hear the truth. You know what? The truth will set you free. We have a lot of people out here now. They're not listening to the truth. They're taking things back to the 1960s and 1970s when race relations were really bad and really bad here. The thing I don't think people really understand about race relations is, though, as long as they can keep the people divided, they can do what they want to do to the people. But if the people ever come together, if the people ever forget each other, if they ever just sit the other side and come together as one people, this whole world would change. This nation definitely would change. I mean, and it would change for the better. But as long as they can keep you divided, they got us. I do believe truthfully that this world was headed to a place where color didn't matter. But it didn't matter. I mean, you always have your KKK members. You always have your Black Klan members, as I call them. You're always going to have that. But as for the majority, I think we were getting to a place where our skin color didn't matter. Actually getting to a place where we were able to live the dream. See, the dream wasn't to have Black Lives Matter or to have White Lives Matter or to have Brown Lives Matter, Red Lives Matter. The dream of MLK was to have All Lives Matter, to not judge a man by the content, the color of his, but I'm sorry, the content of his character. And if you're judging a man by the content of his character, which is a righteous judgment, then you're judging the man for who he is, not for who someone that happened to be the same complexion of him 70 years ago. But you're actually judging that man for his fruit. Today we have so many people going into the European descent, African descent. Me personally, I'm a dark-skinned man in America, but I'm an American. I've never been to Africa. I don't want to go to Africa. I'm in no way trying to go to Africa. Things are actually pretty rough in Africa. People complain about things here, but we still live in the greatest, freest nation there is. Things in Africa are really bad, and Africans that come here don't really like brown, Black people like myself. They don't consider Americans true Africans. They say we've always had it too easy and we don't want to work. That's what Black Africans from Africa think of most Blacks here. I've had the chance to know a few people of my tail. I'm just telling you how they feel. So we have the European descent and the African descent crowd. And we're blaming people because of things that people did hundreds of years before many of us were even born. Now, me, myself, personally, I can take the blame for something that I did, but I can't take the blame for anything that anybody did with the same last name, same skin color as mine anywhere, because it's not me. I didn't do it. So, like I was saying, I think we were headed to the point where skin color didn't matter, and for some reason, I don't know, call it a conspiracy theory, the race issue is being pushed at an all-time high now. Race in America is totally getting out of control. We have people making up lies to fuel the fire. We have when it was just race baiters doing what they do. When we have people who are saying symbols and things were put up at campuses, and then these kids are actually protesting and getting people fired. Kids are protesting over racial lies that have been proven to be lies. Some of the kids even admitted that they lied just to pour gasoline on a fire, and they've cost people their jobs. People are actually getting fired behind it. That's the kind of society we now live in. We went from where color didn't matter and we were almost living the dream of Martin Luther King Jr., of judging a man not by his skin color, but the content of his character. We went from there to where we are now, that it's almost race riots again. How did that happen? How did that happen? How did you go from a place where we were just Americans to a place now where we have blacks wanting to segregate blacks? How insane is that? You have blacks who want safe spaces, white free spaces. The same thing you fought against them doing to you 60 years ago. Now you want to implement those same things yourself. Those who don't know history are doomed to repeat it. That's what happens. It doesn't matter if they do it, if they segregate or you segregate. On segregation, it doesn't matter what side did it. And how if one side did it is another side, the other side is doing it. What makes that right? So it's amazing. I mean, it's amazing. But if you tell somebody about it, then the first thing they want to do is jump down your throat. This is Stanley Yarborough, Craze Radio, Difference Makers. We'll holler back at you soon. We want to get a little bit of this unsigned artist right here. We're going to take a little bit of listen, see what we got, what she got to say.
Used to have nothing, I remember. Never going to tomorrow. Now that I'm hustling, I got money. Said I'm living real good and driving these cars. And I won't go broke. Said I told myself I won't go back no more. So until my day is done, I'll stay in these streets until I see a sign. Said I can't go back, I can't go back no more. I gotta stay here until I see the sun.
Coming back at you with Difference Makers. We were just talking about the students who are basically protesting around their campuses all over the United States. And we were talking about the actual things they are asking for from these colleges, as well as them getting the administrators fired for false accusations and putting forth false just false reasonings, period, as far as KKK being on campus, doo-doo swastikas, some kind of racial imbalance. First of all, these kids are going to institutions that are being taught by liberal professors. Liberal professors are usually Democrats, and they support the Democrat Party. We would say, if campuses are that racist, again, we would go back to who's running them. Why would these kids be suffering all this racial injustice at these liberal institutions? For the loving Democrats, the lover of black people, the lover of minorities, the lover of brown man, all the melanin brothers and sisters, how could they be going through so much racial strife on a liberal operated campus? Okay. They're crying for free education or cheaper education. And the liberal professors, they are supposed to support this, right? Why don't they teach for free? If they feel and if they support a free college education for everybody, why wouldn't they teach for free? I'm pretty sure if you had every professor give away their salary, cut their salary altogether, they could be teaching all of these and all these people who are being held back and who are getting into student debt, they could help them all by teaching for free. Now, I know in the real world that doesn't work because the professor can't teach for free because the professor needs to eat. The professor needs a roof over his head. The professor needs to take care of their family. But at the same time, the professor can't expect a business owner or others to pay for these education of these students. If the student wants to go to college, the student's going to be incurred with debt unless they get a scholarship, academic, athletic, or whatever. That's a choice that we have to make. If we're going to go to school, it should be on anybody else to pay for it. I believe that we should help those who can't go to school, and they, depending on the circumstances, shouldn't have to pay it at all as an incentive program. Because if we can send billions of dollars anywhere, we can send our people here to school. We could take care of our people. We're bringing in 100,000 immigrants, 100,000, letting in millions and millions of illegal immigrants, and we have homeless vets sleeping on the street. No shelter, no food. Yeah, there are some that like being there, some that want to be homeless. And I know people may think that's strange, but there are some people who don't want to live the average person's life. They like their life of living on the streets. They like their life at all. But there are others, many others, who would love an education, who would love to have a home, who would love to have hot meals daily, who would love to get the help they need to pull themselves back together. And these are American citizens. And we aren't taking care of them at all. We're letting them go by the wayside. But we're willing to bring people in from across seas or across from other countries and take care of them. We are willing to do that. That is insane. We should always take care of home first. In your life, in whatever life, you should always take care of home first. That's biblical. And it amazes me how Democrats who booed God and voted to remove God from their charter at the Democratic National Convention. It amazes me how they are quick to pull a Bible verse out, to pull a Bible verse out to shame a follower of Jesus Christ. First of all, they don't understand the scriptures. They can read the words, but they have no meaning of the context of the scriptures. Don't let them quiet you down with that. That's one of their favorite things. One of their favorite things is, thou shalt not judge. Yet they judge you every day. They say you're a conservative. You cling to your Bible. Yes, we believe in God. They say we're old school and we aren't up to new ways and we want to deny women choice. No, we're not denying them choice. We just know that that's murder. God never changes. God invented Eve, not Adam and Steve. Man and woman, that's what makes the world go round. God doesn't change. So, yeah, we are old school, but that's the right school. They are convinced followers of Christ that you shouldn't judge anybody. You shouldn't judge anybody. You should let people do all the wrong that they want to do, and you shouldn't say anything when God's word tells us to be completely different from that. He tells us to be the salt, the light of the earth. He tells us if the salt loses its savor, what good is it? Meaning if the salt doesn't burn when it's put into the open wound, what good is it? The truth is not all. Truth isn't always going to make somebody feel good. Not always going to make you feel good. Tell the truth. See, when you put the salt in that food, it seasons the food and makes it better. So if you're doing something good and you're told the truth and you're told how good it is, then yes, it's going to be better. But if you walk outside and you get a cut, you get a scrape or you get a cut, and you put that salt in that cut, it's going to burn. It's going to burn to heal that wrong, to heal that wound. That's what it's going to do. It's going to burn, but it's still salt, and it's still the truth. So you can't always expect the truth, and that's what God says. They're going to like their ears to be tickled, meaning they're going to be like to be fluffed up. You can continue to do this and continue to do that. And you can do this over here and that over there, and it's okay. Men are going to flock to that. That's the kind of stuff they're going to want to hear. And they're going to run from the truth. And they're going to persecute those who speak the truth. And they're going to call you all sorts of names. And they're going to do this and that. Well, remember, Jesus told us these days will come. It's amazing to me. I will see people in one instance tell you this part of the Bible isn't true. That part of the Bible isn't true. That part over there, the Bible isn't true. But then 2 seconds later, they pull out a Bible verse and tell you this is what you should be doing. Well, if you don't believe in those parts of the Bible, there's no need you to believe in this part of the Bible, because the whole Bible, the whole word of God is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God's word in the flesh. So there's no way you can believe one part and not believe another. So then when you tell them that, they go to the Leviticus. They go to Leviticus. They go to the food laws. They go to all kinds of things. Well, if a woman is on a menstruation, well, of course I do. They didn't have tampons back then. They didn't have maxi pads. So if the lady sat on your couch back then on your sheet, she bled through on your sheet. And of course that's nasty. So you would have to go clean it. But now that you can't have a woman sit on your couch or in your house during that cycle. But people will tell you that. It's just because they are at war with God. They have enmity towards God. So whatever they can try to do to confuse you and to prove God is wrong, that's what they'll do. We had Barack Obama. He said it a couple of times now. He's went on and on about the Crusades, the Christian Crusades. The Christians are bad people, too. They're just as bad as the Muslims because they had the Christian Crusade. They slaughtered people from here to there. That's what a lot of people are telling. And they're little puppets. They're little puppets on the string. I'm telling you, it's so funny because it is just like you're at a Barack Obama press conference whenever you talk to these dudes on Facebook. My buddies Marcus and Tim, they know exactly what I'm talking about because I'm talking about them. It's just like you had a press conference. They actually regurgitate every word. They stick to it, and they make sure they stay point for point. No free thought, no research whatsoever, because usually, most of the times, if you research the crap they're talking about, you'll see that it's definitely not true, or it's definitely spun to show one angle and not the other. But we're going to get back to the Crusades. The Muslim Crusades. And this is posted by Fact Real on February 12, 2010. Islamic launched 30 AD. Mind you, Muhammad came out of his cave in 600 AD, and that's when they attacked and conquered and invaded Mecca. So we'll go on to that. The Crusades were started by the Muslims in the year 630 AD when Muhammad invaded and conquered Mecca. Later on, invaded Syria, Iraq, Jerusalem, Iran, Egypt, Africa, Spain, Italy, France, etc. The rest of Western 1995 to try to stop the Islamic aggressive invasion. Okay. So we see that Muslims started their crusade in 630 AD. And if you fact check, like I always say, we don't want you to just take our word for it, but we want you to actually fact check and go in and research it for yourself. Muhammad came out of his cave and he created actually Islam around that time. Before then, Allah was a pagan moon god, of a pagan Egyptian moon god cult. But what Muhammad did do was he went to Mecca and he attacked Mecca. He took over Mecca, which was the holy site and the holy place of the pagan moon god cult. He took over their half crescent moon. He took over their dome of the rock. That he did. He formed Islam. He went on crusades to kill millions of people. The Christian crusades came later. The Christian crusades came along because somebody needed to stop these tyrants. But that part is never told. For some reason, the Muslim crusades are never spoken of. They were never talked about. But you always had a Christian crusades brought up just to smear Christians, to smear followers of Christ. Because as God's word said, the whole world is against God. If you are of the world, you are not of God. Is that simple? That's not a hard lesson to learn, but we're going to get back to the Islamic crusades. All right. Islam has killed about 270 million people. 120 million Africans, that's your melanin brothers and sisters, the homeland of Africa, 120 million. No group of Europeans have killed that many blacks. They've killed 60 million Christians, 80 million Hindus, 10 million Buddhists. This is as of 2010. So this was 5 years ago. And we know just in one week, they killed over 300 on a beach in the Middle East this year. Forced conversions of Islam have been the norm across three continents, Asia, Africa, and Europe, for over 13 centuries. Orders for conversion were decreed in all the early Islamic dynasties under both Seljuk and Ottoman Turkish rule and in Persian, Iran, and the Indian subcontinent. Islam has been at a continuous war against non-Muslims for almost 1,400 years, 630 A.D. and Muhammad. All right, those are the Islamic Crusades. 630 A.D., Muhammad conquers Mecca from his base in Medina. In 632, Muhammad dies in Medina. Islam controls the Hijab. 636, Muslim conquest of Syria and surrounding lands, all Christian, including Palestine and Iraq. This is 636 AD, well before any Christian crusade ever started. 637, Muslim crusaders conquer Iraq. Muslim crusaders conquer and annex Jerusalem, taking it from the Byzantines. 638 to 650, Muslims conquer Iran, except along Caspian Sea. 639 to 640, Muslim crusaders conquered Egypt. So we can go on, and I can tell you year by year of all the civilizations that the Muslims have attacked and conquered. But why isn't anybody talking about that today? Why isn't anybody talking about, in order for them to bring on the last Mahdi, they must push for world domination and pretty much the apocalypse. They believe to bring on their savior, which will be the Antichrist, that they must cause the apocalypse. That's in the book that every Muslim reads. Yet no one talks about it. Yes, if you talk about it, you're considered to be a bad person, a bigot. I know a lot of people listening out here, and my family and a lot of other people. I know you have. You have family. You have grandkids. You don't want them growing up in that type of world. And it's time you man up and buck up and do something about it. We got Madison J for Eternity coming up. Another unsigned artist from Craze Radio with a K. Your home for unsigned music and entertainment. Unsigned artists. Current events, politics, and all things true and real.
boogie in the casket. Oh. Daddy in the exit. I eat you for breakfast. Dumb diamonds on my neck. But I'm blessed with it. I'm a revolutionary. Part in my vocabulary. I don't even remember as a carry. Tell me when I'm in the cemetery.
Hot guests and hot topics coming up. This is a new thing, but we're going to try to make it bigger and better every time we come out. I believe in being the best at whatever I do. That's what I believe in. That's my goal, to try to be the best at whatever I do. And that's what I ask all of you to do. Nobody's holding you back. Nobody's holding you down. Nobody can control your destiny but you. If you're willing to put in the work, you can achieve your every dream. As long as you lock yourself up mentally, it's called self-check, self-D. Nobody else has to guard you. Nobody else has to do a thing. All they have to do is watch you fail. Watch you guard yourself and shut yourself down. That's all they have to do. So remember this. Don't remember anything else I said. You can be whatever you want to be. All my boys out there listening, I love you guys. And you just don't know that you give me an extra heartbeat. You give me extra energy. You give me a boost. You give me the strength to get up and go and to do. Didn't know where I would get the strength from. God bless me to be in your lives, and I'm going to do everything in my power to make your lives better. All we ever ask you to do is you do the work. Do your part, we do our part. Love you all, and God bless you. My fam, indeed. Signing off, Big Stan, Coach Stan, a.k.a. T.Y. Capone, Street General. Letting it go. Love you all, and be thankful. Be blessed.
Monkey in the casket. That nigga's a I eat you for breakfast. Diamonds on my necklace. That's what I'm blessed with. I'm a revolutionary. Pardon my vocabulary. I don't even remember ever caring. See me when I'm in the cemetery. Legendary.
How you doing?
Hello. How you doing there, Coach?